Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. We've read all the books, we've bought all the courses, we've tried all the tactics, all in search of some mythical secret to growth and scaling that always seems to let us down whenever we find it. So now I invite you to take a completely different path with me. It's not risk-free, and in fact, it's a little scary sometimes. But it's this path that has forged one winner after another. If you made it here on the show today, we're going to spend the next 15 minutes demonstrating how to leverage everything. My name is Josh Thomas. I'm your host. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. This podcast is brought to you by VAIQ, the smart choice for hiring remote international talent so you can leverage your business with experienced, vetted virtual assistants. We recruit, place, train, and manage talent from all over the world to fill critical roles in your business so you can stay focused on innovation and growth. Tap into our college-educated, experienced, and loyal workforce who are ready to step in and 10x your production in as little as 7 days and save up to 70% versus hiring locally. To learn more, go to vaiq.net. Once again, that's vaiq.net. Today's guest is Christian Lafair. He speaks and writes on nonprofits and social enterprise based on his track record of starting nearly 5,000 nonprofit organizations, in addition to 30 plus years of copywriting and fundraising for myriad courses. His big bet, social enterprise founders are the superheroes of a new era. Personal values now tower over classic norms as the new basis for identity and behavior. Christian, welcome to the show. Tell me, what is one thing that you do better than anyone else, and how do you use that to your advantage?
Thanks so much, Josh. Super excited to be here. And I would say that the overarching, ninja hack that I have, right, is leading with love in all the things that I do. And particularly, I could apply that to all kinds of company growth management, but I'm going to apply it today to AI because we hear about all these productivity hacks and it's about getting more done faster and all that stuff. But what if all those data inputs could really be centered around an attitude and approach that is totally love-based, and that actually is going to make you more of what you want.
That's awesome. And so how do we tap into that if we're not naturally like inclined to be that way? Like some of us are a little more closed off. So how do we open up?
Well, we've all run into, 10 years ago, almost to the week, I lost everything that I had built my entire identity around. I had raised money for my company that was absolutely on fire, and it was just a disaster. My family, I was away from my family and my kids. I had driven myself into the ground, trying harder, trying to make the business work, staying in the basement, working harder and harder on it while everything slipped through my fingers. And eventually, all of it went up in smoke, and my car was even repoed over a missed payment or a couple missed payments. And I was literally riding a bicycle in a borrowed bedroom, wondering what exactly happened to my awesome life. And I would never trade that time for anything in the world, because what that allowed me to do starting 10 years ago was learn how to start with loving myself, because I knew that every bit of thinking that got me that I had used before and that I might use to fix that situation is what got me into that place in the first, to begin with. And so I realized I had to completely let go of my entire ways of thinking, my faith, everything, and live like a monk and relearn how to be a human. That's what I've done for the past 10 years. And every single one of those things that I thought I had lost, that was irretrievably broken, has come back to me on my own terms. And now I live a truly joy and love-filled life.
Man, it's you hit me when you were saying like all of the decisions I made up to this point have led me to where I am right now, and that's something that I often think of in the opposite way of like whenever you think of regret, like oh, I regret that this happened. I wish this hadn't have happened. I wish I hadn't have done this XYZ. And the thing that stands out to me about that is, well, if I hadn't have done that, who would I be today? And what other probably worse mistake would I have made?
Absolutely.
Have to kind of like go in there and realize all of the things that you were help you define who you are right now. But they don't necessarily have to stay that way because you can control it.
Correct. Yeah, and you don't know, it's like the yin and the yang. You don't know what you don't want unless you feel it, you experience that. And Alan Watts, and there's all kinds of books on finding your purpose today. And Alan Watts used to talk about, he brought Buddhism to America essentially, and he talks about the duality of life, right? And to look things at things in a non-dualistic way, and to let things go. And yeah, so I had started a company. I'd started this company already, to help people to start nonprofits, because I just find it morally outraging that it would be hard to, it shouldn't be hard to do good, and that it's so hard to start a nonprofit versus like any other type of business,
That's true.
that that's really a dis it's a disincentive to people who are really good people that want to do good in the world. And my little sister is developmentally disabled, grew up around Special Olympics, and I just thought that was how things worked. People just kind of helped other people, and there were always these wonderful people in the world. And when I found out much later in life, in around 2009, 2010, that it was really hard to get a nonprofit started because I tried to create one, I was like, this is really ridiculous, and somebody has to do something about it. So I started this company, and as I was going forward, we were experiencing some success, but I was really struggling in my personal life and in my business life, to kind of pull it all together, right? And so sometimes we get these early indications of success. People want what we have, or maybe we get the job we want, even if it's a job. But then inside of that, right, we don't find this fulfillment. And in fact, sometimes that thing can really show us this big contrast on what you want life to be like and how good it could be, but how far away it feels. And then I had this, crisis, and I decided to just take some advice I got from a coach that I called in my crisis. And he just gave me this little mantra, and he didn't give me a book to read even. He just gave me this little mantra. He said, "Do as little as possible, just do what's right in front of you the next moment that you feel called to." And so I just started walking down this path, and I slowly started picking up things and really letting everything go. If it was going to burn, it was going to burn, but I wasn't going to kill myself over it and crawl over broken glass and wear myself out any longer. And by gosh, I couldn't believe, but slowly, one thing after another, by having this much more open attitude and trying to control things less, I actually started to pick up some successes in areas that I hadn't before. And so I really learned to be able to apply that to every area of life. And so what I was going to talk to you today about, the one thing, right, that I'm applying this to right now, is humanizing AI and using AI as sort of a tool of love. And I can give you some examples for that, but it's really yielding some amazing results in my life and my business.
Yeah, let's dig into it, because this whole show is about leverage. And so how do we use AI to really leverage all of the things that you've been talking about in a unique way?
Yeah, so what I've been doing is, we all have conversations, right? You and I are having a conversation right now, and there are many layers in a conversation, and we're very present, right? We're just able to talk from our hearts right now. I don't have a script. We're not trying to produce some deliverable necessarily, right? And so that often happens when you're meeting with people, whether that's discovery calls. I'll give you an example with that. Whether it's calls with your team, maybe like one-on-ones, and like getting to know a team member, or even a VA, right? How do you get the best out of this person? How do you really know who that person is? I'm going to share that as well. And then thirdly, when you are out to produce something in a series of meetings, right? Maybe with your marketing team, you end up with all these recordings of all of these things. And you end up, they end up sort of going in the digital dustbin, I call it, because we collect all this data, we collect all these conversations, record them, and it's kind of like the pictures in your phone. Every time you go to a concert, I took my daughter to see Pantera and Metallica recently, and everybody has their phones up. And I laughed, and I leaned over to my daughter and I said, they'll never watch any of those, and they're just getting in our way.
It's
And
funny, it's just real quick about that, because I flew to Portland to see Tool,
Oh, yes.
and they have a very strict rule, like no phones, you know, if you're
Good
here,
on them. Yeah,
you
like
know.
Jack White.
And so we're sitting there and everybody's just like watching the show, man. It was wild, you know, and this was just a year or two ago in this day and age that people are actually just paying attention. And then he let Maynard at the end is for the last song. He's like, okay, you can pull out your phones because I know you got to put your videos on your MySpace or whatever. And he made fun of us. And
MySpace.
so we totally pulled out our phones. But yeah,
That's
you know,
great.
being that full presence, go ahead.
Well, it's so funny that that's a big contrast nowadays, right? It's like shocking that you wouldn't have a million phones out. And it just goes to show you, like, it's so automatic that we just record everything. I record every call on Fathom, or, you know, there's always like sometimes there's like more AIs in a meeting than there is people.
Yeah.
And so I started going, okay, how can I use this to like get to know people and situations better and stuff. So those three examples I gave you, I realized that if I were to take the, you know, I was like, how do I get my founder's brain, right? I have more domain expertise in the nonprofit space because I've started 5,000 nonprofits and now I've, you know, done all kinds of things with nonprofits. How do I take that brain and turn it into something that, you know, I always joke that I want to clone myself. And before I had 18 members like I do now, I really did need to clone myself. You know, it was just me and maybe one or two other people. And so I realized I could take these 500 or 800 recorded sales calls, right? Discovery calls. And that ChatGPT now didn't, it didn't at the beginning. It now has the level of capacity for data to where I dropped hundreds. And I had a VA, right? Drop hundreds of these transcripts into ChatGPT, and I crafted up a prompt that told it to capture questions and then capture follow-up questions because you need to do those in one thread. Because somebody would be like, "Hey, how do I start a nonprofit?" Oh, you do this. Oh, well, can I have my mom on the board? Right? That would be an uncontextualized question if you didn't capture it in a string. But if you tell ChatGPT to, you can do what I did and literally capture every question that anyone will ever ask about your product or service and literally duplicate your brain in a way that now you have a nice table because ChatGPT is able to ingest this massive amount of data and create a table that you can now upload to Intercom or to a chatbot or GHL or, you know, Go High Level or whatever, whatever. This stuff's much more accessible. So I was like, wow, if you can do that, then maybe I can get to know my team members because I've created this culture of love. Everyone loves to come to work every day. Everyone loves and shares with each other in a really non-corporate way. Nobody comes into the office at my company and says, "I have a personal matter to attend to today." No, they share, right? Their kid is sick, right? Or they're just they're having this personal issue with their spouse or whatever, and everybody rallies around and says, "Oh, you're fired for the day. Let us help you," right? So I wanted to have people really feel connected and everything. And so we try to do some typical things that you might think of, like when we hire someone, we capture, you know, what are their favorite books? Do they like you know, K-pop or Korean barbecue or whatever in this form? But it's like there are things that people don't even either know about themselves or don't share about themselves about how they operate that we could learn more deeply if we were to think about the language patterns, right? If we were to allow the AI to help us get to know people better in an intentional way, maybe that's going to work too. So I started from the interview process to the one-on-ones to group meetings. I started feeding meetings into ChatGPT. And then prompting it to tell me more about that person so I could understand the subtext and the deeper values and motivations that they have, right? What seems like it lights them up? What's maybe an underlying frustration or something that's a blind spot that they might not even know or something that they want to do with their life? I have one person who I actually recruited at a festival, and she beat out 2,000 resumes on Indeed in a very intensive recruitment process. I really think she's cool. And she, you know, it would be easier for me to just say, "Oh, well, buying her a festival ticket is going to motivate her, right? It's not just about money." And we all know millennials and Gen Z are motivated by more than money. They want to be understood. They want to feel there's meaning to work. But what if I just did an experiment, and I learned more about her by feeding all the conversations from the interview to one-on-ones to whatever team meetings, and asked ChatGPT to help me understand the underlying subtext, what gives her energy, where she might want to go in her life and career, and what does she love outside of work, so that we could maybe start to draw some patterns and say, let's put this person on a career path that's really going to light them up. Let's occasionally, when we do our little Secret Santa every quarter, let's figure out what kind of motivates this person. And I was astonished at how readily ChatGPT was able to tell me much more about this person in a way that I could listen differently, that the rest of the team could really get to know each other. And then we could even play games. And when we have our connection meeting once in a while, we would learn how to just interact and how to learn a little bit more about each other. And then everybody would feel more appreciated. Everybody would be happier to come to work, less fearful to share, things that would help us to make their life better, make their workplace better. And it has really yielded a lot of awesome results. Because getting that subtext and getting those undertones from these conversations, when you express that you understand somebody at a deeper level, that is so rare in this world, even from our lovers, our friends, our classmates, that for that to happen at the workplace is creating something really extraordinary with this company. And in an age of disconnection and distraction and dopamine extraction, as I call it, the dopamine extraction industry, it's so rare that that happens. That we have a group of people I think are really going to stick around for the long haul. And you could translate that into cost savings with less turnover. And, raises don't always do it, right? Sometimes it's not about a raise, but it's about creating a better environment for that person. In so many ways, this has really yielded some beautiful things on my team.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so what would you say is the number one like tangible benefit from somebody investing their time and energy into something like this?
It helps you to, one of the main things with HR and nowadays, like retention and especially engagement. I mean, if you look at the Gallup studies, like 66%, I think, is the number of workers feel disengaged at their jobs. And so people end up with, everybody suffers from grass is greener syndrome. But there are people that sometimes leave our employment or our team. And, for entrepreneurs, that's really costly, especially if you have a small team. You invest so much and they get to know all your systems and everything. And so it's super costly, even more for a small business, to lose a valued team member. If you could avoid doing that by finding out what really is motivates that person other than what they will overtly share, then you can save the massive amount of money it costs to train and recruit someone new. You can find out what other intrinsic values there are because giving a raise or a bonus or something is an extrinsic value and that can only go so far. And then there's the intangible, of I live my life so that literally when I lay down every day, I know that like if I were to get backed over by a bus tomorrow, I lived today as full as I can, as connected as I can, and as authentic as I can by doing things like this. And so when I show up at work, whether we have a great month or hit our numbers or we have a, upset customer occasionally or something, which is very rare, that is not what matters as much as that beautiful connection that I saw and the excitement that I felt from my team on the daily. That is a reward that is intangible and that you can take to the bank, whether or not you can take something to the bank that day.
Christian, where can we go to learn more about what you do and who you help?
Absolutely. You can go to instantnonprofit.com/podcast. Anyone who would be thinking about maybe whether it's today or in the future, is a nonprofit something that I could, is it a vehicle that I could use and how easy can it be to start one? Is it a vehicle I can use to like actualize something beautiful in my life that would give me more meaning? It's so incredible that every day people come to us and they're already fostering dogs in their garage and calling their friends to adopt these animals because they don't want them to go stray or whatever, right? People start things and they don't even realize they need a nonprofit. And then they go, well, I could get free dog food from the supermarket if I just had a nonprofit, or somebody could donate to me if I just had a nonprofit. In any of those cases, or you just want to explore this different type of business entity where, yes, you can get paid. Go to instantonprofit.com/podcast. I've got a great gift for your listeners, and you can book a call. We'll just listen to your idea, and if it's something for you, then you can move forward. And if not, you're equipped with understanding what is really about one tenth of our economy.
Well said. Hey, we're going to wrap from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Christian Lefebvre, for coming on and sharing his wisdom. For those of you who want to connect directly with him, you can learn more at his website, instantnonprofit.com. And once again, if you want to leverage your time, energy, and resources to the max, managed remote talent is your answer. Learn how to save up to 70% on your next hire and avoid the common pitfalls of remote workers by going to vaiq.net. Hey, listen, if you want to win, push your chips in. It's time to leverage everything.